working through the book of Romans. Romans is like, to me, a very important book because it explains the gospel more clearly probably than anywhere else as far as the frame of thought that he leads us to. And one of the key elements of the gospel is faith. Some of you know we've told you to go through the first chapter of Ephesians and underline everything that, you know, God is doing, basically, because it's all about what God is doing. And the one thing that we do is believe, which is the idea of having faith, right? Faith becomes crucial. And last time we talked about faith is the means to righteousness from God. That without, you know, if we're not doing right, if we're not feeling right, if we're not experiencing life right, what do I need to do? I need to work harder. I need to you know, climb up some stairs on some glass or something. No, I need to call on the name of the Lord and ask God to help me trust in Jesus Christ, to believe. So believe means to trust. It means to have faith. You know, it means to really look at Jesus. So we talked about that last time. But the other part of it is this saving faith, because faith in Jesus Christ that brings about God's righteousness in us, that faith is saving grace, and there are great, precious promises that come from that. And that's what we want to look at today. First of all, he talks about, and I just abbreviated this because Paul's argument is kind of hard to follow, but all he's saying to us is, you know, is the blessedness that comes from God, from faith in God. Does that blessedness only come to those who are Jews, or does it come to Gentiles too? At the early church, that was a big question, right? And he tells about how Abraham believed God and received righteousness before he got the sign of circumcision. And then later, he says, you know, he got the sign of circumcision as a sign of the righteousness he had by faith, right? And then he explains at the end of this little section, he says, he is the father of us all who believe in Jesus. So this is one of the things I think that's so important for Christians to understand. The unifying factor in the gospel of Jesus Christ is we're all believing in Jesus, we're all receiving the same Spirit, we're all receiving the same promises, and it doesn't matter who you are in the world. It, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't look at us. He's looking at what happens in our heart. He looks at what happens in our lives. And he makes us family in a sense that nothing else in this world can do. He can heal all kinds of divisions and troubles and stuff. But faith in Jesus Christ brings about this fellowship, this family. And it says it doesn't matter who they are. God is the God of all people who believe in Jesus, those who walk in the footsteps of Abraham. So with that, he gives us then this great promise. We are, you know, so in short, Paul says, we are all Abraham's children. Say that. We are all Abraham's children. Say, well, why does it matter that I'm Abraham's child, you know? Well, because Abraham and his children received great promises from God. And here's how he sums that up. He says, it's not through the law that Abraham's offspring and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For those who live by the law, if those who live by the law are heirs, then faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. We will show you that again. We talked about that way back in chapter 2. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. The key point in this is, he sums up all the promises God made to Abraham in this one phrase: they would be the inheritors, the heirs of the world, right? They would be the heirs of the world. And he says that gift from God doesn't come because they follow the law. It comes because they believe in Jesus and have received righteousness. It's the same thing that identifies us. I want to show you this kind of diagram, though. Well, I mean, you know, what did he promise him? He promised him land. He promised him that they would bless the whole world. All peoples, all nations would be blessed by him. He promised him a great name. He promised him that he would have a place, that he would have a promised land, you know. And he eventually said, you're going to have a king, you know, the Lord Jesus over everything. And here he sums up all those as you're going to inherit the cosmos. You're going to inherit the earth. Now, here's the thing. On this side, we have Romans 1, you know, 18 through 320. And part of that is people who are under the law, people who were Jewish. And they could not do anything but sin. They were slaves to sin. They had the works of the flesh. If you were not a Jewish person, you were on that side. You were an idolater and ignoring God and shoving God off. And the end of that is wrath. The end of that is destruction. It's only through faith in Christ that you get to the promise of Romans 4. He says, Abraham's children through faith are made righteous. And in verse 13, it says, they become heirs of the world. All right? Now, here's the thing. It's not this world. Praise God, it's not this world. I always want to point out the idea that what God has in store and the promise that he makes is, says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride and adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. God is not going to allow that sinful category to destroy the new heaven and new earth. So there's a separation. And the promise comes to those of us who become righteous, not because we earn it, but because God has made this plan of salvation that when we believe in Jesus, we receive righteousness. And then he says we become the children of Abraham. And he says, and with that comes the promise of this new heaven, this new earth. There's no sorrow, no death, no sickness. God himself comforts us, wipes away the tears of our eyes, and you have this glorious kingdom where God will dwell over everything, and we're going to be his people. He will be our God, right? By faith, we receive all of these things. By faith, we receive righteousness from God, right? By faith, we join Abraham's family and receive his promise. And by faith, we have in our heart and mind this inheritance of the new world. Those are big promises. Those are big things. These aren't small little works, small little things that, you know, sometimes we pray about things that are kind of small in comparison to this, to having righteousness with God, to being part of God's family forever, and to have that new heaven and new earth as ours, right? And that's what Paul shows us here. He says, therefore, the promise comes by faith. Everything comes by believing God. So important that we understand. I think I made this clear earlier, but say it again. Every word that comes out of God's mouth is an oath. When God says Jesus' death on the cross saves us from sin, his word said so, so it must be true, right? Everything that he's given us, all these great promises, it all comes by faith. And it is also by grace. Another very important word, right? Grace is what? God helping us out. I did the chapter one sermon yesterday at the food program, and the idea of, you know, people that ignore God and shove God, and they reject God's help. We do not reject God's help. We beg God for help. We pray God for help. We're asking God constantly, God, help me be better. Help me be stronger. Help me to endure sometimes when there's hard things going on, right? And we know we need God's help. And everything that God promised is his kindness to us, seeing us down, seeing us unable, and lifting us up, right, by grace. And it's, again, to all of Abraham's offspring. Why is it important? Because all these promises come, you know, through Abraham, right? Not to those who are of the law only, but of those who are of faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As I have written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom we believe. God who gives life to the dead. Now you think about these big promises, right? Who's God? God's the one who rose Jesus from the dead and brought Jesus into the eternal kingdom and set Jesus in the center of the throne and gave Jesus a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. That's big stuff, right? That's God. Who can do that? Only a mighty God. And he also calls things that are not as though they were. And again, tying what the new creation to the old creation. How's God going to do this? How's God going to fold up? It says the heavens and the universe, and we know now, wow, how big is that? It's going to fold up like a scroll. And God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. If we don't believe God is the creator in the first place, how are we going to believe that God can do that? But he is a mighty, almighty God. That's why we like his name, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, meaning the Lord who created that universe. He's going to do it again according to his promises, according to his word. And he's going to make us heirs. It's so important that we understand the one who's given the promises and the faith that's necessary to receive those promises, right? So here's what he skips to next, and it makes a lot of sense if you think of it in those terms. God has promised these huge things and promised and shown us, you know, he speaks about his mighty power, the power to raise the dead and the power to create all things out of nothing. And he says, now against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. In other words, Abraham held on to his faith. This is where we live a lot of times, holding on to our faith. So he became the father of many nations. Just as it was promised, so shall your offspring be. And that was as many as the stars of the heaven. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Now here's the thing. Think about what he's saying. He's saying, here's Abraham, 100 years old. His wife is well beyond the age of anything near childbearing. And Abraham says, well, you know, man, is it even possible that I could have a child? You know, if you remember, Sarah laughed when the angel told Abraham she was going to have a child. And, you know, and it was like, you know, why are you laughing? Because I'm speaking from the Lord. You know, I'm not just idle talking. And you know, she had a hard time believing it. And, you know, just think, all the evidence said no way. All the facts said no, this will never happen. And even when they tried with Ishmael, right? Said, no, that's not it. I promised you a son from Sarah, right? All the physical evidence said it wasn't going to happen. Yet, he did not waver. And I like this word waver because it's not really to waver. It's to judge between two things, right? That's really what it means, to judge between. He did not, you know, and again, how are you going to say that in a word? So he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. What did he do? He had all the evidence that said, no way. It's impossible. I'm old. My wife is old. It can't happen. But on the other side, what did he have? The word of God, the promise that God made, right? And so between the two, he said he did not waver through unbelief. We have to realize how important it is that faith is extended to everything God has said. We believe in Jesus. We believe in his resurrection. Do you believe in your resurrection? Do you believe in your life after? Do you believe in your place in the kingdom of heaven? In other words, all those things that God has promised. And here's Abraham. He chose, you know, I'm going to believe that God will do what God said he would do. And so he, you know, went to his wife, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. And the words it was credited was not for him only. Our faith is so crucial to our walk with God. You cannot please God if you don't have faith. if you don't absolutely trust every word that comes out of his mouth, if you don't believe every promise that he's ever given us, our faith has to be based upon his truth, his character, his power, who he is, and not upon what I think, not upon you know, my doubts, right? For it's also, again, that righteousness is given for us who believe, who raise our Lord Jesus from the dead. So he talks here about the idea of we believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. But the other question is, do you believe in your resurrection? You know, do you believe that God, you know, God says, you know, for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives eternal life. Well, that isn't happening with this thing. It's falling apart day by day, if you know what I mean, right? But what God has promised is a new body, a new place, a new heaven, a new earth, right? Big promises, big things. He says, we believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead. He was delivered over for over to death for our sins. This goes back to chapter 3 where he says, why did Jesus die? He was set forth as a propitiation. He was set forth as a sacrifice that brought mercy and grace and righteousness into our lives, that we could have peace with God. Right? So those promises, he's already said, we have to have faith in those. And again, he was raised up so that we could be justified, so we could live in Christ as God's righteous people. Our faith needs to be able to stand up against doubts, right? God says he's going to forgive me. He actually said it, you know, in David's words and in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, says he will never, ever remember my sins. I don't feel righteous all the time. I don't feel forgiven all the time. Now, what am I going to believe? The way I feel? What I say or do in a moment? Or am I going to believe the word of God? That God says, if I have faith in Jesus Christ, he will declare me righteous and he will look at me, consider me, logizomai. He will look at me and say, you're righteous. That's the word of God, right? He promises resurrection. We were as a couple of people in the Sunday school class, what happens when we die? You know, where do we go? And you know, the Bible doesn't like clearly give us chapter and verse about that. It says that if you believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ, that you're going to have eternal life. He doesn't tell us what happens the moment you die. He doesn't tell us how he's going to raise up. So what do I, I don't know. How's that going to work? I mean, I'm going to decay. She's going to burn me, you know, and throw my ashes around the church. You know, it's like, you know, how's God going to put that back together, right? You know, see? Or do I believe the word of God? That God says, if you believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. And all the promises that Paul lays out in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, a new body, a heavenly body, a spiritual body, an incorruptible body. That's God's promise. That's God's word, right? Yeah, a new heaven and a new earth. How is God going to take all this and dispose of it? It's huge. We got that new telescope that goes on and on and on. That, you know, far as people can see, oh, look, we were wrong. Go figure, you know. But they see more and more and more how big this universe is. It's going to fold up like a scroll. And God will speak. And God will say, new heaven, new earth. Just like Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. In the end, God creates again. New creation. Can that happen? It's the word of God. I believe it. I believe it. And that's the challenge of our faith, especially in our modern society with all these messages and things about how difficult this would be to happen. God's word is the anchor of our faith. If God said it, it's an oath. If God said he was going to do it, it's a promise. And God has given that to us. By faith. All these big promises. What do I have to do? Believe God. I have to believe God. And when doubts come, when science enters in and I just can't figure out how that's possible, I have to fall back on the very simple thing. It's God's word and I believe God. Amen.